You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the Zabecast, is baseball near or is baseball far? Near, far, near, far. Oh, who the hell cares? A day of teases on Wednesday, but still no deal. Notorious J.A.Y. is out from behind the paywall. We talk Kaepernick, Aunt Jemima, and the NBA's dystopian bubble. All that plus a rare collectible from a dude who once cut off his own ear. Your daily Kickstarter of Uncensored Me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Thursday, June 18, 2020. Thank you for downloading. We got a lot today. We'll try to cram it into as economical a space as we can. Let me start by saying I don't have Grover for you. I said I retired him yesterday. After Wednesday's teases from various sources, I'm like, well, hold on. Near, far, what are we? And then I realized, oh, shoot. Grover is on the other computer. My main iMac, 2017 21-inch iMac. No, 27-inch? Yeah, 27-inch 2017 iMac with a Fusion drive. It's part solid state, part regular hard drive. And it's fucking failing. 3 years in, it's failing. Luckily, there's a listener, Jody Bell, and he is really, really helpful. Unbelievably so. Only lives about 20 minutes away from me, which is actually kind of close. And is a super computer whiz and has helped resurrect this computer once from the brink of the dead and is going to have to do it again. But he believes, and I believe, that this Fusion drive is just too much trouble. So what could I do? I could replace the drive, cost money. I could boot from an external drive, cost money. Or, because I do a lot of video editing and editing of the podcast here on the Macs, you got it. Get a new Macintosh. Oh, my wife is going to be so excited. What should I get? And I want to get a standalone Mac that is pretty good horsepower. Kind of the Mac Pro, which used to be made as a cylinder. They've gone back to the big industrial-sized shape of it, the big tower. And I know they're hella expensive, but I do end up doing a lot of video editing. I'm going to do more as I go forward. So it makes sense to invest. And I want to get one of those Star Trek super wide curved screens Uh-huh. Fuck yeah. It's about time. So if you have any suggestions for me on Mac Pro level computer, I want to graduate from the iMac, Mac Pro level desktop computer for my video editing and editing of this podcast, as well as recommendations, do's and don'ts, watch out for's with the big curved ass screen, let me know. Because I got the fever for a computer. And also, by the way, where can I, once Jody gets this iMac up and running, which he will because he's a fucking wizard, and I get everything off of it safely, what can I do with it? In theory, it still works, but the Fusion Drive may be failing. Where can I sell it for a couple hundred bucks, trade it in? Does anyone know? Is there an Apple program? Let me know. Let me know. Okay, so baseball, where do we stand? John Heyman said on Wednesday that a deal is expected for about a 60-game and 70-day regular season starting July 19th. Full proration of salary, expanded playoffs in 2020 and 2021, and the waiving of any potential grievances. Then as the afternoon wore on, people said, no, there's no deal. We've had good talks. We might have the framework for a deal, but there's no deal. No deal. And as of this taping on Wednesday night, there is no deal. So if I had Grover, who lives as a soundbite on a computer that's now dead for the moment, I would say they are still near or kind of far. A little bit of both. We'll keep our eye on it, obviously. Meanwhile, in the NBA, complications, more complications with the reboot, with the bubble city trouble. ESPN story with Zach Lowe, NBA Coaches Association fears the new league standards and guidelines could bar team staffers in high-risk categories from coronavirus in Orlando restart. They say it could, quote, severely jeopardize their future employment opportunities. So in other words, the Coaches Association is already like, hey, fuck the Rona. My guy wants this job, you know? Tex Winter was coaching on the NBA sidelines deep into his 70s. Tim Gergerich, same thing. These old cats that are on the bench as assistant coach 6, 7, and 8. I kid you not, that's how deep some of the benches go. They're like, fuck, you're going to tell me I can't coach? No. I'll take on the Rona. I'm not scared. Shit, I'm already getting close to dying anyway. I need the money. I want to enjoy my retirement. You're going to bar me from coaching? Fuck that. So that'll be interesting to watch. Dwight Howard has released a statement about the restart in Orlando after expressing his reluctance to do so because of social justice. I quickly looked at the statement and said, TLDR, and moved on. Actually, I said TLDRDC, which is the highest form of TLDR. And you know what that stands for, right? Too long, didn't read, don't care. Gee, what strokes chin. What does Dwight Howard now think about the restart? Broncos standout safety Kareem Jackson tested positive for COVID-19, a source confirmed to ESPN. He had cold-like symptoms but expects to make a full recovery. Good. Note, this will happen dozens and dozens of times throughout the rest of this year. Please be advised. Keep calm and carry on. On a call today, NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Sills said, quote, we do not feel it's practical or appropriate to construct a bubble. League will rely on robust contact tracing, education, and testing, and anyone who tests positive will be isolated until medically appropriate. Note, they didn't put a hard number on it. They didn't say 7 days, 10 days, 14, medically appropriate. Good. Smart by the NFL. It's funny how any bit of coronavirus news gets pounced on. Pounced on by certain people, mostly people that are on hashtag team apocalypse, not hashtag team reality with the coronavirus. And hashtag team apocalypse are the ones going, well, I don't know how they're going to play this season. Oh, my God. Negative, negative, negative. Darren Revelle jumped on this one. A number of people jumped on it. Florida and Orlando reported that nearly 50% of the 500 people tested at Orlando's international airport had tested positive for the Rona. And now, granted, that's a holy shit. Like, wow, that's a big number. Guess what? Took about an hour, and they came out and they said, whoa. Hold on a second. This was a mistake in reporting, or maybe the state fucked up, or maybe somebody, you know, took what they gave them as information and misconstrued it. It turns out that it was more than 500 people. It was like 25,000 people that work at the airport, and that the 252 positive tests had accumulated from March. So it wasn't like we just tested 500 people and oh shit, half of them have the Rona. But people jumped on it because you know what? They're now cheering on this surge in Texas and Florida. And it's the usual sports people that are doing this because you know which way they lean politically and they just want Florida to be a disaster and they want Texas to be the same. And the problem with people like this, like there's people that just don't want to admit reality. Let's be perfectly honest. The virus is here. It's out. It's spreading. We can't contain it. The only people that can kind of keep it at bay are places like hospitals or sports leagues that spend a lot of money to create, quote, bubbles, which are not impenetrable. There'll be positive tests along the way. The rest of society can't create a bubble. And if you're thinking for one hot second of shutdown two, fuck off, die. No chance. We can't do it. I would hope people wouldn't accept it. But there's a lot of Karens who would accept it. So there's that. And then there's this. Speaking of Karens, we had a gaggle of Karens at the Chop in Seattle when a middle-aged white dude, Trump t-shirt, MAGA hat, and United States flag over his shoulder, strolls up casually to the boarded up exterior of the magnificent autonomous zone, where, by the way, they're asking for supplies. They had a sign, supplies needed, this, that, the other. Hey, whoa, I thought you were autonomous. It's like the line from Princess Bride. I don't think you know what that word means, autonomous. He goes up to the outer edges of it, not inside it, of course, where shit's boarded up. There's an American flag upside down, spray painted with love and rage and Black Lives Matter. And there's trash on the sidewalk and, you know, it's fucking disgusting. And it's amazing that it's even being allowed to persist this long. But hey, Seattle's gonna Seattle, right? Guy strolls up and just starts looking at something posted on one of the plywood boards that is boarding up one of the stores. And a gaggle of Karens, mostly white Karens, some decent lookers, but they're crazy. But middle-aged white Karens with one black woman immediately come over and start the unmistakable call of the Karens. Gah, 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 gah. Take a listen.
Not to be here. If that is your opinion, then this is not the space for you. This is not a space for you, and we understand. It's really just traumatizing for people.
Oh, God. I love it so much. She's got, of course, what looks like a Starbucks iced coffee, very fashionable shirt on, and, of course, a mask. Very traumatizing. They're literally standing in front of a boarded up, vandalized, looted area of Seattle, where there's a SoundCloud rapper who is the warlord of Chaz walking around with weapons. And it's the guy in the MAGA hat quietly walking up to the sign to take a look at it. That's traumatizing.
It's traumatizing. It's traumatic. Your hat and your flag are traumatic at this point.
Like, what are you trying to gain here?
Really nothing. You're looking at dead bodies. You're looking at dead bodies and then you're wearing a hat that says that you support the person that killed them. You support the system that killed them. So don't look at them and don't stand in this space. It's not not for you. It's not for you. We're here.
A black woman now rolls up. She does not have a mask on. And she suggests something with the flag, which is interesting.
That's not a Make America
Great Again. Oh, yeah.
So obviously you came here to start shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
One,
you can't come.
Start shit.
Videos in your face and you want to be on YouTube. Go home.
Someone got a lighter?
Oh, someone going to light the flag?
I light that bitch on fire.
I light that bitch on fire. Okay.
Be honest with you.
What is he doing?
Yeah,
I
was kidding.
And he just stands there looking at it. This is incredible, and there is so much blame at the feet of social media, what it's done to people's brains, the way they think, the way they act, the way people accept certain things as truths. It's just staggering. But this woman clearly, I mean, she looks like she's got a job, and several of the women, they're like, what are you doing down here? You're not a 20-something hippie dropout that's part of the Chaz. You're just down here to sort of flex. To just, you know, feel like I'm supporting this autonomous movement. And oh my God, a hat of the sitting president, MAGA hat, and a flag. It's traumatizing. And then one of them says, I'll light that on fire. Again, like there could be no negative ramifications for starting that. Who knows what the guy's got? Maybe he's packing. Maybe he's been laid off from a job. Maybe he's planning to commit suicide, and he figures he's going to commit suicide by going down to the Chaz and starting some shit and waiting for the first suburban woman to come up and try to light his flag. Again, hello? This is the real world. You don't think negative outcomes, deadly negative outcomes, can't come at any moment when you're talking about crazy people? Don't engage them. Yeah, was he trying to start shit and maybe post something for YouTube? Sure. You could also argue, hey, if we're all in this, got to express our rights to say this and say that, this guy's expressing his opinions without even saying a word. Traumatizing, of course. Before I get to Jay, a couple letters here real quick. Robert Cooney says, hello, brother Steed. Just finished listening to today's Abecast starring the ex-Mishpuka. That's Yiddish for family. And I have to say, it was easily in your top five all time. It was so genuine and heartfelt. It felt like I was listening to a bunch of friends just shooting the shit in the basement, or in this case, in a van. As the father of two teenage boys who are sports fanatics, both as players and consumers, it was just what I needed to escape from the craziness of the times. My boys have been sequestered with their mom and diabetic stepfather in Calvert County since the pandemic started, so I do not get to see them much these days, and your show reminded me of some of the same conversations the boys and I have had many times. So thank you again. Be well, Robert Cooney. Thank you, Robert. Yes, I enjoyed it very much. I don't know how it played with other people. I don't know if they found it compelling. I often have no idea if any particular podcast is compelling or not. So I'm glad that that one hit. And I got a lot of good feedback from it as well. My only complaint was, you know, I had to crank the AC in the middle of it, and I could hear the AC humming in the background, and I'm like, yeah, hate that. Not sure how to mitigate that. I think once we get out of the summer, I'd say from October through April, should be fine. I can pretty much do those interviews inside the van without any AC whatsoever. This one from my man, the Felt Father, who works at a local gambling establishment. I'll leave it at that. He writes to say, guys, great Zabecast this morning. I really enjoyed hearing you again with Mr. X and getting to know X2, X3, and X4. We both have a lot of similarities with our boys. Mine are 14, 17, and 20. I coach them as well. For this, I guess we can call them Felt 1, Felt 2, and Felt 3, LOL. I've got two quick stories, though. Back when the boys were younger and I was learning dice, I would practice at home and the boys would play. They learned the basics of the game, pass line, don't pass, things I would have to look for, such as a proper dice, proper as in the top and bottom always add up to 7. At the time, they were 8 years old, 11 and 14. My proudest moment came to me when my 8-year-old, that'd be Felt 3, brought me a piece of mail and said, look, these are improper dice. The 6 and the 1 are beside each other. That's hilarious. The best moment was when Felt 2 came to me in fifth grade and asked me if he could bring some of my chips to school. I asked him why. His response was that he plays blackjack with his friends at school during recess. They play for pencils. Well, he now has a bag of pencils, so he was going to sell kids chips with their lunch money. He then explained that he does good because he told the kids that he wins all ties. I had to explain to him that he couldn't do that anymore. He's not a casino. When he walked away, I told my wife, I'm proud of that boy. Anyway, I thought I would share. Talk to you guys soon, the Felt Father. That is fantastic. And, of course, Mr. X being a huge dice guy as well, craps guy, would appreciate that as well. Time for Notorious J-A-Y. Notorious. All right, no phone ringing today. I made sure Jay was connected ahead of time. Hello, la la la.
Hello. By the way, random thoughts before I start.
Yes, sir.
Is there any actress in American history who is more beloved than Michelle Pfeiffer? I love Michelle Pfeiffer, and I don't care who knows it.
Beloved. Interesting yes. term. I found her to be a bit cold.
Really? And Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes, Michelle Pfeiffer.
You are.
One
word I've never heard. I don't like Michelle Pfeiffer. I can take or leave her.
Has she ever been in a rom-com?
Yes, I'm watching it. One Fine Day with her and George Clooney.
Well, then that's the only one I've seen her in. She ain't no Katherine Heigl, I'll give you that much.
Oh, Katherine Heigl's a bitch on
Fuck videos. That. She's my girl. And with that, we say hello. All right. And we are off and running. By the way, I don't know how you feel about this, but I declared Hannah Storm retired officially from middle-aged babedom. I did it reluctantly, but I had to be honest about it. I said, she's been one of my longtime favorites, but, you know, at some point, everyone's career comes to an end.
Father Time is undefeated.
Unless you're J-Lo, Jennifer Aniston, or Cindy Crawford. Anyone else who is absolutely...
thank you. Yes.
Sorry. I thought you were going to say Cameron Diaz, and I was about to object because she is overrated big time.
I have a new one into my pantheon of over 40. I saw a picture of last week of, I don't know if it's Kari or Carrie Champion. Good Lord.
Kari Champion is straight fire. I don't know why ESPN let her go. Every time
she left, she said she left on her own volition.
To do what?
That's I don't know what she's doing, but goddamn, she throws heat.
Oh, she was absolutely. She is absolutely perfect. I think.
How about Maria Taylor?
A little lesser knockoff. Just like Laura Rutledge is a poor man's Aaron Andrews. It's they're the same player. Aaron Andrews up here and Laura Rutledge, same player down here. Just like Maria Taylor down here, Kari Champion way up there.
Okay. All right.
So there you go.
This portion of the Male Chauvinist podcast.
Well, you know, we're men. We have libidos. We're men. We have libidos. And we know that these are accomplished journalists and they're hardworking women. And they deserve all the success that they get coming to them for their hard work and professionalism.
Mazel, mazel.
Mazel, mazel. Hot women on TV. We admire females who are cunning and smart and good at their jobs. No, that is true, actually. When it comes to hotness, you can't just put any dits up there who clearly doesn't know her shit. It's the women with moxie that are the most attractive. For example, you know who is high on my rankings? L. Duncan.
You know what? And it's glad L. Duncan also has a little je ne sais. She's kind of a ball buster too,
she
which makes her extra
is.
Hot.
That's the thing. She has got major sass. And it's like she can play with the dude's level of sarcasm. And I'm like, I like that.
How about this one? I saw this yesterday and I made a note to Mina Kimes. What are your thoughts?
Zilch. She's a zilch.
Okay.
Like her.
Because she doesn't take herself too seriously like Katie Nolan. By the way, when we talk about white privilege, Katie Nolan is the poster child. She's done dick, and yet she gets paid millions. She's done zilch, nothing, nada. That's the poster. Her and the coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Cliff Kingsbury, poster child for white privilege, right there.
Okay, Jay, you know that some white people are allowed to succeed and allowed to have jobs.
Didn't say that, but when you succeed off of nothing, that is called white privilege.
Okay, is there
stand yourself up on? Right. That's white privilege.
I think that Dominique Foxworth and Mina Kimes are enjoying black and Asian privilege. I think Pablo Torre is enjoying Hispanic privilege.
I don't think I look at the
faces and the ethnicities to think, I know ESPN being very progressive and woke is they're picking from each of the fruit baskets as they go along. And they're like, look, we got a nice, balanced, diverse on-air staff.
Wait a minute. You don't agree with me on Katie Nolan?
Katie Nolan is overhyped and not very talented, not very funny, and not even very good looking, to be honest.
Okay. Dominique Foxworth, But
here's the thing. With Katie Nolan, it's not because she's white. It's just because she filled a spot that they thought. Somebody in TV thought she was good, and she's rode that. Are you saying that Sarah Spain is riding some kind of white privilege?
I don't know how she got to where she is either. I don't get it. But because she's got really big breasts. I guess that's what it is.
Do you think?
And she does, by the way. Look at the pictures.
I'm well aware. She's got basically no journalism pedigree. She's got no resume that led her up to ESPN, which is a hell of a job.
So she's Will Kane. So she's the female Will Kane.
There you go. Will Kane, again, was plucked from one of the fruit baskets at the farmer's market of conservative. And Will Kane looked good on TV, handsome dude, and could craft a very professional-sounding, right-leaning argument. So they figured, well, we should probably have one of those too. Artichokes, kumquats, corn, beets, radishes, apples, pears. Let's get them all in the basket.
Wait a minute. What is your problem with Dominique Foxworth?
He's not good. He says things that are so predictable. He is the most shallow woke bot they have there. That's what he is, Jay. He is a woke bot. I prefer a Bomani Jones whose political angles I disagree with, because there's real movement and heat to that fastball. There's real talent, and there's a uniqueness to Bomani's act, so to speak. Dominique Foxworth is just, to me, a zilch. He's a zilch ex-player. You could swing a dead cat and hit 20 of those guys who learned to dance to the tune of the ESPN preferred narratives on things.
But he's not your typical ex-jock. He went to law school, if I remember correctly.
Oh, hey, how about that?
But he's not. Well,
no, okay, not, that's fine. It's okay to have him as one of your favorites. Let's compare. Do you think he is better or worse?
I like this game, by the way.
Okay, better or worse than Jay Williams?
Better than Jay. Well, Jay Williams offers me nothing. He is put quarter in. You get Jay Williams. Yeah, no.
Okay, is he? And I gotta be honest, I don't watch very much SportsCenter right now, in part because there's no fucking sports, and also because I don't need the daily lectures and the struggle sessions and the hand-wringing and all this stuff. I don't. So I'm just kind of steering around it till there's some highlights to be had again. What about Marcus Spears?
Hey, this is a problem, and I'm going to give the Black Whisperer for you.
All right.
And this is, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but whenever I hear It's something with a Southern accent, and I shouldn't say this.
Oh, then how about you don't?
I love no. The presentation always comes out to me different, but I love Marty Smith. I love Ryan McGee.
I agree.
But Marcus Spears is better than Booger McFarlane. He's better than Damian Woody. There you go. How about that?
Okay, there you go. That's good. Damian Woody versus your boy Dominic Foxworth.
Oh, Dominic Foxworth.
Okay.
Right. I don't know why they hired Damian Woody. I don't get that one.
Well, we'll have to see. What about Kendrick Perkins, who ripped Kyrie yesterday?
See, again, the Southern accent you hear and you go, and he's part of that. By the way, the most overhyped team in our lifetime is the 2008 Celtics.
Right.
Oh, my.
Nothing's impossible. Kevin Durant screaming for the Adidas commercial.
They four-peated. They won one fucking championship, yet they talk about themselves like they won three in a row. But
was that the year that Paul Pierce was
in the wheelchair?
Left the court in a fucking wheelchair, which is an embarrassment. If you can't limp on one leg off the court with two people carrying you, you suck. And it was like for a nothing injury. He didn't even break his leg. Shit, I bet Kevin Ware for Louisville didn't go off the court in a wheelchair. He had a compound fracture.
Why am I blanking on the guy who the ESPN talking head? Everybody, every time there's a job for a front office job, they were like, "Well, why don't you?"
Oh, Louis Riddick.
Louis Riddick is my favorite.
Louis Riddick's excellent.
No bullshit, and you get smartness. He and Bomani are my favorite.
Yeah, Louis Riddick is excellent. Louis Riddick has a command of the medium and is able to deliver points very forcefully and concisely and doesn't just blah, 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 or speak in cliches. All right, so having said all that, let's start digging in. What do you make of the bubble that the NBA has set up, which is going to include such hilarity as alarms that will go off if somebody who's not a player is 5 feet from you for 5 seconds or more? By the way, they should use those for fucking paint violations, lane violations, 3 seconds. And then secondly, things like a snitch line and singles only ping pong. Are you fucking kidding me?
First of all, no, the no side pieces alarm, which is pretty much what that is, that is going to be violated quickly. There's no way these guys are going to do that. And there's no way they're going to snitch on anybody. Are you kidding me? You're going to have viral athletes in a bubble with no chicks for 30 days? Fuck that.
How many players will bring their wife if they have a wife? How many players who don't have wives will bring one girlfriend? I haven't thought about this, Jay, but imagine you're an NBA baller, you're under 30, you're not married, and you can bring one woman per NBA protocol. And imagine if your four different women who you're tight with are all like, "Hey, you're bringing me, aren't you, baby?" And you're like, "Yeah, we'll see about that." How funny would that be? Can you imagine those conversations from an NBA player to his coterie of ladies?
Oh, that's going to happen. And you got to make a business decision. You got to make a business decision.
Hey, baby. You want to join me in the bubble for 7 weeks? For VIP accommodations, all you can eat, all you can drink, golf, leisure, then you better step it up these next couple weeks. Oh, you know what, Jay? You ought to have a play-in tournament amongst your girls. Play your way into the bubble.
All right, ladies, go for it.
That's right.
Because I heard Jalen Rose was talking about that. He was like, "You want me to leave my significant other for 3 months? I don't think so. I ain't doing it."
Yeah. Well, they can bring family.
If I had to leave Molly Karam, I wouldn't do it either.
I'm not clear. I haven't read enough yet to see if they can bring girlfriends because they're not family.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's somebody's going to be like, "Why? I have my girlfriend. Why can't I bring her?"
Right.
I'm pretty sure somebody's going to make a case for that.
If they're going to be testing for the Rona all the time, do you think some of the guys be like, "Well, you're at it, test my girlfriend for chlamydia, syphilis,
and herpes, give her pregnancy test too while you're at it.
Exactly.
Just check under the hood for everything. Right.
Every service light on the dashboard, check them all.
A diagnostic check.
Exactly. And they're not going to drug test them. Of all the testing they're going to do, they're not going to drug test them. And they're going to wear these, some players are going to wear these special rings that measure heart rate and perspiration and a bunch of other stuff to detect when they might be on the verge of getting sick. It's crazy. I said, are those rings going to also detect?
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How high are they at night, given the fact that they're not going to be tested while they're down there? It sounds kind of fun.
I might as well be high as hell.
Fuck yeah. If they're not going to test, nothing, whatever goes down in my room goes down in my room. Don't knock. Don't let me
in. Basketball is going to suffer with the amount of highness.
Well, it's going to suffer because they've been off for 4 months.
Well, that's true, too. But you know what? A lot of them, I've seen pictures of like Harden and what's the guy from Denver? Oh, my God. Why can't I remember his name?
Nikola Jokic.
He looks in great shape.
I know. Jokic has dropped a lot of weight. Harden's dropped some weight as well.
Yeah. But no. I guarantee you this, Ben Simmons still doesn't have a jump shot. Guaranteeing you that.
No. That
a fucking bum. I don't like him. He's a bum.
Dude, forget about that. What's up with Markelle Fultz? Where is Markelle Fultz? Is he still a Sixer?
No.
I'm going to Google it right now.
No, he got traded. And Markelle Fultz had a couple of games where he scored like 13, 11, 10.
Oh, he's an Orlando Magic.
Yeah, he did not look horrible, but he's the number one pick. He did not look like a number one pick, but his jump shot, albeit still funky as hell, looks better than Ben Simmons' jump shot.
All right, quick quiz. This interrupted season when he played 64 games for the Magic, what did he average points per game
with the Sixers?
No, with the Magic, because he was this year he was with Orlando. He got played 2 years in Philly barely and then got traded.
6.5?
No, 12.1.
okay, all right.
What do you think he shot from the field?
37%.
47%.
Wow.
What do you think he shot from three? What do you think he shot from three?
Oh, I'm going 30%.
25%.
Yeah.
In fact, let me get the raw threes numbers, see if he's even jacking up any threes. Totals. Come on, Basketball Reference, you son of a bitch. Why is it so hard to find that? Playoff game highs, advanced, this, that, blah, blah. It is pretty embarrassing. I mean, the guy is a guard. You cannot be a guard in today's day and age and not shoot threes. You can't be a four in today's game and not shoot threes, right?
Yeah. Yes. You've got to shoot at least over 40%.
30 of 118 threes.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, that's a lot of bricklaying right there. So his per game three attempts, about two a game. That's not a lot. It's not what we call volume shooting. He's a low volume shooter who also bricks a lot. So
if he was in the 80s, he'd be a gunner.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad the NBA is going to come back. I hope it doesn't get sidetracked by a bunch of other side shit. I think the social objections have been tamped down. So yeah. You want to talk about this Atlanta shooting?
I'm here. I don't know. This one is different than all the rest. But I got questions. So tell me if I'm right or wrong. I have read this, but I may be wrong. So, oh my God, what's his name? Chet. What was his name?
Okay, Rashard.
Brooks?
Yeah.
So he was in the parking lot, in the drive-thru.
He was in the parking lot, Rashard Brooks. He was in the parking lot asleep in his car at the Wendy's. Somebody called to complain. Officers showed up. On body cams were rolling, as well as surveillance footage from the Wendy's. And the officers were patient and polite. Brooks was pretty cool about it, and he was trying to talk his way out of it.
With his baby mama.
Right.
And he had a few drinks, and he was in the parking lot trying to cool off, and he fell asleep, if I remember him saying that.
Right. He offered to walk home, but the officers are like, will you take a breathalyzer? And I guess he did. And I think after the breathalyzer, it might have been just a field one that doesn't give you exact reading, but it basically says either, drunk or not. They're like, I'm sorry, sir, you've had too much tonight. You're under arrest. And then he starts to wrestle with them, both the cops, and he's putting up a hell of a fight. Grabs one of the tasers, gets away, starts running, turns while he's running to point the taser at the officer. And I believe it was his partner who shot him from a little bit further back at a different angle.
Okay, here's my question. They know he had no weapons on him but a taser, right?
No, they didn't know that.
I thought, didn't they frisk him?
I don't know if they did or not. Maybe they did.
That's
you're probably, they would have frisked him before questioning,
right? They had
to. Yeah, okay,
so
fine.
So they know he has nothing on him but a taser.
Right.
But yet you shoot him in the back.
When he's running away, which is not a good look. However, the DA who today filed charges of like felony murder, which is most people say that's way overcharging, and there's going to be perhaps some pushback on this from other elements of law enforcement. The taser, the DA said last week, well, the taser is a deadly weapon. He said the taser was a deadly weapon a week ago in a different case. When it was used on somebody, and now he's like, oh, you can't shoot him just because he had a taser, and he was pointing it at you. Either way, it's a bad deal, and what's tough is that what should the officers have done? Let him run away?
Every optic is bad with the police after Dylan Roof. And you go, why Dylan Roof? Because the police arrested Dylan Roof, didn't rough him up, didn't beat him up.
Right.
And they even took him out for hamburgers because he was hungry.
Well, I get the emails on this. Apparently, they brought him hamburgers. They didn't take him out. They brought him hamburgers, and they said that is a common... This guy that emailed me said, to tell you that is a fairly common tactic to get people to confess while they're in custody, to give them some food. I don't know if that's true or not. But the thing about Dylan Roof is that that's a whole different police department, different people. And every police officer in the United States is not one big organism that reacts and adjusts based on what other people do.
But I'm saying that
you're right. That's the optics. So the only question I have is,
it's either that or you got that part, Dylan Roof. And then you got the guy also, I believe in South Carolina, who shot the guy in the back and then planted the gun on him.
Oh, that's horrible. That was horrible.
That guy was running to get out of like a parking ticket or something, like speeding or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you know that there was a white woman shot in her car by police that barely made news? Unarmed?
Did not hear that one. It's horrible.
I know. Caroline Small is her name. I believe. Hold on. Let me make sure the date is correct. No, that was from 10 years ago. I had it 1 day ago. Yeah. Here you go. Missouri. Hannah Pfizer. Let's see. Investigators found no weapon inside the car driven by a Sedalia woman who was shot and killed Saturday by a Pettis County deputy. The deputy, who has not been publicly identified, shot 25-year-old Hannah Pfizer during a traffic stop. white woman. Look her up. Hannah.
I know. I'm looking this up now.
Hannah Pfizer. I mean, just now the cop said that the woman told him, I got a gun and I'm going to shoot you. They found no gun. Horrible, right?
Yes.
But we don't hear about
the story.
That. See, like this shooting, while bad, I don't think had race involved at all.
He was drunk.
Here's the deal. Okay, so don't shoot him in the back while he's running away. Got it. What are you gonna do? Let him just run away? He might go carjack somebody.
You know where he lives.
Do you know his? By the way, do you know his arrest record as well?
Did he have one?
Oh, Jay, it is a shit show. Again, something you're not going to hear from the mainstream media.
But again,
I know it's not shooting in the back, running away is not good. The only thing that you have to say is, well, what should they do? Is he a potential danger to the immediate area as he's running from the cops? And are we not going to prosecute drunk driving?
He was, in the grand scheme of things, and I'm saying he should have, but I would have let that guy sleep in his car.
Okay.
Or let him walk home.
Somebody said, why can't the cops call him an Uber? What? That was a legitimate comment somebody made about this.
I'm laughing because what is the big deal about that? Or, I mean, like I said, Or how about this?
Because the cops are not your mom.
or drive them home, like Otis from Andy Griffith.
Well, I mean, if it was Mayberry and not Atlanta, maybe so. I don't know. I think it was a horrible use of deadly force, but with some very tough questions that have to be asked. I don't think race was really the motivating factor in this.
This was just bad policing.
Bad policing, bad outcome. And at the end of the day, I mean, we have to ask ourselves, do we want cops to even stop people who are drunk drivers or to not arrest them or just let them wrestle them and then grab their taser or gun and run away? Like, how does that work exactly? You know? I don't know, man. It's tough.
The only part that I have to raise my eyebrow is, if he had no weapons and you knew all he had was a taser,
I guess that would be important to know if
you kind of had the
him.
Hammer,
right?
You kind of had the hammer. Yes. Right.
I mean, hell, if I'm a cop, I would just take all the bullets out of my gun. But if I'm a cop, I might be rethinking my career choices right now. There is a strong possibility that a lot of Atlanta police officers are not going to sit well with this absolutely over the top felony murder charge where the death penalty could be in play, they say, for this officer.
Did you see the police chief resigned?
Yeah.
Police
chief is black, I think.
No, white. She's a white woman. Oh, the mayor's black. Okay. The mayor's black.
Mayor's but black. DA is black. Police chief is white.
But I saw the police chief, and I'd seen her in the HBO documentary about the Atlanta child murders, and I was like, this woman's sharp. She gets it.
Yeah.
And she quit. I'm like, I don't know why she quit.
Well, she's white. The optics, Jay, again, things are being run by optics now, which is really dangerous if you think about it. And I just worry that, in a world without police, crime is going to be booming.
Like I said, I'll take my thing. Pay them more money, train them better.
There you go. Amen to that. Let's move on to less controversial news, like Aunt Jemima finally being retired. Huzzah, huzzah, or a bit much.
Do you know the whole story with Aunt Jemima?
I know the basics of it. I know that she was a minstrel character back in the day.
Yeah, it was like they hired this woman named Nancy Green, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Nancy Green, and I believe they debuted her, and I might get this wrong. I think it was like the Chicago World's Fair.
Yeah.
And she would like sing songs and flip pancakes. So she wasn't the real Aunt Jemima, but they had her play the character. I think she quit like years later.
130 years of it. And Aunt Jemima's image on the pancake syrup had been sort of softened in recent years.
No, they gave her a perm at one point.
Yeah. I've already seen a number of potential replacements. including one of Sheila, a black civil rights attorney with a very short haircut and kind of a look on her face like, mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to get rid of Uncle Ben's next.
Well, do you know who Uncle Ben was?
I do not.
He was
Ben Carson?
No. Put Ben Carson on instead. I think that might be met by as much outrage as the actual Uncle Ben. No, Uncle Ben was like a guy who was great at growing rice and was an entrepreneur who would sell his rice. The only problem is that the Uncle Ben image on the box became used as a bit of a stereotype. Okay. So he really wasn't, it wasn't a nefarious thing. It's like, yeah, he's really good at making and growing and selling rice. So it's Uncle Ben's rice. But I can see where some people would say it's been used as a stereotype. The cream of wheat guy got retired.
He's got to go too now.
Well, no, he was gone in the 20s. I think they called him Rasta or something.
Cream of wheat was consumed daily. At our breakfast table before school.
Yeah.
Love cream of wheat.
Fills up the stomach, sticks to the ribs, good stuff.
Miss, on a cold one a day.
Miss Buttersworth is in trouble now. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yes. They're now saying
Miss Buttersworth is black?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know the bottle comes in the shape of a woman, which I always thought was kind of badass.
And she's a married woman, Mrs. Buttersworth.
Yeah. See, I just want... Here's what I want. I just want to be able to have represented the successful, talented Southern black female chef, you know, that can really cook, and you'd feel welcome. You'd come and visit and she'd be like, come on in, and you'd sit down for a great meal. That's not racist. That's not a stereotype.
Like, that's like the lady from the Popeyes commercials.
They're right. And what do you think her name would be? If you were to guess,
Beulah.
Should the Dixie Chicks change their name? Because now that's being asked because Lady Antebellum.
Antebellum does have some terrible connotations.
Well, it refers to the pre-war South, which had slavery.
Which was not a happy time. Nope. I love the Dixie Chicks. How do you not like the Dixie Chicks?
They got a new album coming out in July, according to Scott. And I said, wow, that's interesting. I thought they really disappeared for a while. And I said, do you think it'll be as good as Wide Open Spaces? He goes, no, nothing can be as good.
That's right.
And I'm like, you're right. You know, Cowboy Take Me Away, Earl.
Goodbye, Earl.
Right. So, all right. Can we
quickly talk about did you watch the 30 for 30, the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire?
Let's talk about that. Go. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, but I'm...
It's a piece of shit.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because they waited until... Because I kept watching it, and my best friend growing up, Greg, we were texting throughout the whole thing because he lives in St. Louis, and I lived there, too, with him for like a year. So, I was asking him about what it was like for the chase. And we kept going, when are they going to bring up the steroids? That and Sammy Sosa's face were two big problems with the documentary.
Oh, yeah.
They waited until an hour and 50 minutes in to quickly gloss over the steroid controversy. That's like having a documentary about OJ and not putting in the killing of Nicole and Ron Goldman.
He had a little trouble with the law.
Yeah, he got tripped up a little bit.
Over some sunglasses. But hey, you don't need to know about that. Let's go back to OJ's awesomeness.
But I mean, it was a piece. It was like a love letter to Mark McGuire, and they showed him getting in the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. Huzzah! Huzzah!
Yeah,
you'll never get in the real Hall of Fame, Mark. Yeah. It was a piece of shit.
He's still beloved there. Sammy Sosa's a pariah in Chicago. Hasn't been back to Wrigley in 16 years. Of course, it ended badly with him there, so I don't know.
Got traded to Baltimore after that, if you remember. Yep.
Struck out a metric ton too, didn't he?
He was terrible. Horrible.
Didn't Albert Bell end up on the same team in Baltimore with him?
No, I think Albert and Sammy did not cross paths.
But Albert was an Oriole, right?
Albert was a Oriole and a mean and surly one.
Yeah, he
was. He had a sign over his locker. Any questions you'd like to ask me, email me. Like nobody talked to him.
Email me using your CompuServe account on your BlackBerry, signed 2003.
Al Rizzo. Oh my God.
Here's the thing about steroids and Maguire and Sosa. I too, Jay, have no appetite for like feeling good about that race because it was completely fraudulent. And when people say, but you know, you still have to be a great hitter, got to be able to hit a fastball, recognize a curve. And I said, yeah. If steroids had nothing to do with it or very little, how come nobody has sniffed it since?
I always like to point out people who say that, and I just have one name, Brett Boone.
Yeah.
Go look at Brett Boone's numbers for like 3 or 4 years. Brett Boone was averaging 50 home runs.
Or Brady Anderson.
Or 1 year. That was 1 year.
52.
That was 1 year. Yeah.
And, surprise.
Brett Boone got off the stuff and his career took a tilt. Brett Boone.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll have to watch it, see how it goes.
No, it's nothing. It's not going to do anything for you. It's like an open love letter to Mark McGwire.
Really?
That's all it is. Yeah. It's a piece of shit.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's almost as bad as the Lance Armstrong one, who, by the way, Lance Armstrong is.
What a bag.
He is an asshole. Dickhead. Yes.
Total asshole. Narcissist. Yeah. You want to see narcissistic personality traits live and in living color? There's Lance Armstrong. And many media members, Jay, profited greatly off the Lance Armstrong fairy tale that they just wanted to be true. Cancer survivor, American dominating a sport that Americans don't give a shit about. What a great story. Yellow rubber bands to raise money.
Oh, he's just one. Dating Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. How about that for a brief time?
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, and that's why, like, the reporter that brought up the Andro thing on McGuire's locker was vilified for doing so, was attacked by La Russa and a bunch of other people. It's like, oh, sorry I got in the way of this fairy tale.
And they talked about that, and a lot of the writers are still slurping up at Mark McGuire. Well, we didn't even know how to say it. And like, really? Okay. You didn't know it was a... You didn't do some work to find out it was a masking agent? Yeah. No, we didn't. Yeah, okay.
When there's a good story... This is true. We could do a whole show on this, Jay, of good stories that very few people wanted to step up and go, hold on a second. Michelle Wee would be an example. My buddy Cowboy Mike sent me a blog post from when Michelle Wee Mania was at its peak when she was trying to qualify for men's events like the U.S. Open. And he said, read this. He said, it's laughable because they covered her with every shot like she was going to be the future of golf, not just on the women's side, but on the men's side as well. And Mike and I knew, and other golfers knew, yeah, she's good and she hits it kind of long for a girl, but no fucking way. But people bought into it because they wanted to. It was a good story. Tebow, Jay. Another one that I'll never forget. The one guy at ESPN that said, he's terrible. I don't know why people think he's good, was Merrill Hodge.
Merrill Hodge, yes, and was 100% correct.
And what did he win for that? Nothing. Skip Bayless, who embraced Tebow Mania, pimped him to the moon, $6 million a year now. That's what gets paid. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. But before we go, this segment that I wanted to do, but we did other great stuff. You can use this on the show if you like. Since everything is now getting canceled, Dave.
Yes.
Every monument.
Yes.
Three sporting events from your lifetime that you can cancel. What would they be?
Sporting events that I could cancel.
Like
meaning
me.
Pain.
2005 Rose Bowl, USC. And Texas, I'm canceling that shit.
Jay, that's a great topic, man. The sports producer in you still is strong.
I know.
I'm going to use this one. Cancel. Okay. Well, surely I would cancel Black Sunday, Raiders, Redskins, Super Bowl in Tampa.
Gone in 61 seconds. Maryland, Duke.
Yeah,
that's canceled. That never happened.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because that was at Cole Fieldhouse, right?
That was at Cole Fieldhouse. Yes.
You wouldn't erase the up 20 on Duke at the Final Four in Minnesota?
Because that worked out the next year they won it.
No, Jay, no.
By the way, they're both in the same year, by the way, too.
I know. That was a hell of a year. God,
I would rather cancel the gone in 61 seconds.
I would cancel Villanova beating Georgetown. in the championship game. That one sucked.
See? So you get to pick three.
I would go cancel I'd cancel Vinny Serrato three times. Sort of like Toby Flenderson. Like Michael Scott said, if I had a gun with three bullets, I'd use them all on Toby.
You really hate Vinny?
Yeah.
I
shouldn't hate him that much. Vinny was a symptom and a byproduct of a boy owner who didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Dan Snyder kept him as his errand boy because he was easy to push around. He was a proxy GM. I would cancel the Wizards' Ernie Grunfeld 20 times over, but he finally got fired.
Ernie was a piece of shit GM. He was even a piece of shit one in Milwaukee. He was terrible.
He had very little success, maybe a little bit with the Knicks. He was one of those guys.
He did not have success with the Knicks. No. I look, because there's this run of former players who were GM, like Wally Walker, who was horrible in Portland. Willis Reed was terrible. God, he's dead now, but Wes Unseld was a terrible GM.
Yeah, I mean, but with Wes, though, what did he have to work with? An owner in Abe Pollin who is cheap as sin and a dysfunctional franchise that had Susan O'Malley basically pulling the strings because Susan was like Wes's daughter. I mean, it was not a good situation. I'm not sure anyone could have thrived.
Well, John Nash sure didn't.
No. I mean, look, the Wizards are a black hole of failure, man.
How about this one? Would you cancel when Abe Pollin died and his son couldn't get the money up? Would you cancel that so you can get him the money and he can buy the Redskins?
Oh, not
Dan Snyder could have, not Abe Pollin.
Jack Kent Cook's son. Yeah,
didn't have the money, right?
No, Kent Cook. He didn't. He had no stomach for running the team. He liked to be on his yacht in the Bahamas. Fuck him. I think that was actually, we dodged a bullet on that one. As bad as Snyder has been, never forget, Jay, there could always be somebody worse. Are you ready for Fuck That Guy?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. By the way, I've got a new, first time ever, FTG.
Oh.
New concept.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, here we go, Jay. Who wins your FTG of the week?
I have a co-one. It's Tony Clark and Rob Manfred for ruining the sport that I love. That these two dummies can't come to an agreement. And they're just going to fuck the sport that I love. And also, wait a minute, I'll just throw in those two. But okay. It's a lot more people, but those two are they have the biggest hand in this.
My runner-up is Dr. Fauci, who's back again for some reason.
I thought you liked him.
No, fuck him. He's a fraud. He's one of the biggest frauds ever. He's said a million different things about what we should do, what we shouldn't do. He's a guy that has a chip on every number on the roulette wheel with this virus. Fauci now says MLB should consider not playing into October. Hey, Doc, a little late for that right now. They've been arguing over a season that presumes a playoffs, which will be worth a lot of money, in October. It's going to happen. They're just going to have to deal with it. No, my FTG goes to a girl. Fuck that girl. Gwyneth Paltrow put out a candle today called Smells Like My Orgasm. It's $75, and it's sold out within hours. I say FTG, fuck that girl, because I wish I had thought of this. She's a genius. I hate her. She's selling candles that I'm sure don't smell like her orgasm or her. They're just catchy names, and people are buying them.
I hate Gwyneth Paltrow so much.
She really is something else.
But she's insufferable.
But like the Kardashians, she's real good at making money for herself.
That's true.
All right, Jay, my brother, good to talk to you. We'll chat next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Let's end on this. I remember very little from historical impressionist period art growing up and going to elementary school, but I do remember the names Van Gogh and Gauguin. In fact, they're probably, I'd say, the three painters I can remember from art classes in elementary school and maybe middle school and maybe high school would be Van Gogh, Gauguin, Raphael, and Picasso. There's the four right there. That's it. That's the list. I'm out. Anyway, an interesting piece of collectibilia in the art world sold for over 210,000 European pounds, or euros, I think is what it is. It is a letter from both Gauguin and Van Gogh describing, amongst other things, their visits to the French brothels in the 19th century. The correspondence previously held in private hands has been described as exceptional. It was following an argument with Gauguin a few weeks after the writing of the letter that Van Gogh cut off most of his left ear before walking to a nearby brothel to present it to a farmer's daughter who was working as a maid. Gauguin abruptly called a halt to his plans to spend a year with the Dutch artist, lamenting that his friend had gone, quote, raving mad. Yeah, you think so? Yeah, my roommate cut off his ear. The two artists have been collaborating on what was going to be the first steps towards releasing Van Gogh's dream of establishing a utopian colony of painters. Van Gogh wrote, amongst other things, "Gauguin interests me greatly as a man, greatly. For a long time, it seemed to me that in our filthy job as painters," so funny, our filthy job, "we have the greatest need of people with the hands and stomach of a laborer. More natural tastes, more amorous and benevolent temperaments than the decadent and exhausted Parisian man about town." Were they gay? Not that there's anything wrong with it. He wrote that Gauguin is an unspoiled creature with the instincts of a wild beast. He also said, "With Gauguin, blood and sex have the edge over ambition, but enough of that. You've seen him close at hand longer than I have. Just wanted to tell you first impressions in a few words." This was a joint letter to a third party that has been preserved. It was written in French. Gauguin, in response to this, gently mocked his friend in his portion of the letter, saying, "Do not listen to Vincent. He is, as you know, easy to impress and ditto to be indulgent. Vincent has done two studies of falling leaves in an avenue, which are in my room and which you would very much like." Ah, yes. Falling leaves in an avenue. Sadly, relations between the men quickly soured, and shortly before Christmas, Van Gogh asked Gauguin whether he was planning to leave. "Yeah, man, you're fucking crazy. I'm out." When the French artist confirmed that he was leaving, the two men had a furious argument. Later in the day, Van Gogh took a razor and cut off most of his ear. 18 months later, he was dead after shooting himself in a field near his doctor's house in the northern French village of Auvers-sur-Oise. That's a hell of a collectible right there, man. I don't know what you'd do with that other than frame it and keep it, but that's pretty badass. A letter by Van Gogh and Gauguin about their visits to brothels with some other kind of weird, like, "Bro, why do you have feelings for me? I mean, it's cool and all, but I don't know if I swing that way. And by the way, we're roommates, and you didn't do the dishes last night, so yeah. It's going to have to change or I might have to bounce." That'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for downloading. Tomorrow, it's Friday. Yay, Friday. Are you part of the Friday Club? Have you subscribed? If not, I'd love it if you did, but no obligation. We appreciate those who pay for quality content. I know I do it for a number of subscription services for media, newspapers, and streaming audio. And if you do it for me, God bless you. It keeps me motivated, energized, and able to keep doing more and more. We've changed to Red Circle, so go to Red Circle and sign up there. You can see it on my Twitter feed as well in the header. It's Zabecast Premium. You'll see it right there. If you get a chance to do that, that'd be wonderful. You can get 12 months for the price of 11. And best of all, get your Zabe delivered to any platform except for a couple that you like. If you want to go month to month, you can do that as well. Rate and review as always, so our algorithmic overlords bless our crops. And in the meantime, have a great Thursday, and we will see you tomorrow.